Welcome to the Science Show on Cambridge 105. Today with the news that, for the first time, more children are taking up guitar in school, particularly the electric guitar, in preference to other instruments. We'll be looking at the science behind the guitar.
Yep, with the help of our guest, who's been involved in the industry as both a respected touring musician and in the selling of guitars, we'll be finding out how they work. We'll be hearing about whether we're paying for the name of the company or the quality of an instrument if we're looking for a good guitar. Now, many of us, I'm sure, will have memories of a school science lesson in which we built something akin to a guitar using rubber bands and a cardboard box to demonstrate how sound is created through the plucking of the strings and the resulting vibrations.
And with so many different types of guitar available, we'll be finding out how much is involved actually in the sound that we get from those various models and whether or not this impacts on the price. Or are we indeed just paying for a brand name or the association that that brand has with a particular musician?
Today's guest is Graham Buxton. Graham has lived and worked in the Cambridge area for many years, and it's a name that many local live music fans and musicians will recognise for a long musical pedigree that continues to this day.
And in addition, Graham has spent many years selling guitars and advising new musicians, and perhaps more importantly, advising the parents who hold the purse strings as to the pros and cons of each instrument. So let's listen now as Neil starts by asking Graham about the kinds of guitars that are available.
Well, obviously the first two categories you would think of would be electric or acoustic. Acoustic guitar being just a general guitar with a box, no electrics, nothing to plug into. And an electric guitar obviously having generally no sound holes, so nothing that generates the sound itself, and it has pickups and has to be plugged into an amplifier. But of course then you split those acoustic guitars and electric guitars into their various other categories. With acoustic guitars, you've got steel strung, which are generally the most popular, certainly in popular music and rock music. But you've got the nylon guitars, or classical guitars, which are more or less the same thing. Obviously, as the name suggests, classical guitars are primarily for classical music or Spanish flamenco music, very similar. Although, you see, even those are slightly different. And, of course, nylon guitars, classical guitars, are used in popular music as well. Occasionally, you don't hear them quite as much. Electric guitars, obviously, you've got purely solid-bodied electric guitars, which don't have any cavity, any sound hole that generates a sound within itself. But then you've got the semi-acoustic guitars, which have a body, but it's not meant to produce an acoustic sound. In other words, it's still designed to be plugged in. It's not a compromised guitar. It just gives you a different tone when it's plugged in. And then you've got other slightly more peculiar guitars. You've got 12 strings. Obviously, normally a normal guitar is six strings, and a 12-string guitar has six strings doubled up, so they're in pairs, like a mandolin. You can get that with 12 strings with electric and acoustics. And then you've got more peculiar things like baritone guitars, which are used, I think primarily they were designed for country music. They were used in country, for big, deep twang. They're somewhere between a normal electric guitar and a bass guitar, so they're longer than a regular guitar, not quite as long as a bass guitar, with longer, thicker strings for a deeper twang. But they're not, generally speaking, designed to be used as a bass guitar. Bass guitars being something different again.
Okay, so let's concentrate first of all on the acoustic side of things. So a classical guitar with nylon strings presumably gives a softer sound?
Generally a softer sound, softer strings, obviously. You'll find a lot of pupils will start, a lot of schools will normally encourage pupils to start on a classical or nylon guitar. They're generally cheaper because there's not so much involved in the construction. Nylon strings don't have the tension in them that steel strings do, so they don't have to have, generally they don't have what they call a truss rod, which is a metal rod that goes through the neck to support the neck because of the strain that it's under with metal strings. So a nylon guitar will generally be a bit cheaper. You know, you can get a beginner's guitar for quite sensible money and still be a decent guitar. It's a lot easier on the fingers because it's nylon, so you don't get, you're less likely to get blisters on your fingers. I'm not saying you wouldn't, but you're less likely to.
Okay, so the strings are an important thing towards the sound. Is there anything else about the properties of the materials that go into a guitar that affect the sound? So, for example, the wood of the body, is that an important factor?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You'll find that most budget guitars, and I'm going to be talking about acoustic guitars here primarily to start off with. An acoustic guitar, a budget one that a student might start with, would generally be a laminate guitar. So in other words, the wood is probably just a plywood, and they are normally sprayed. So if you see a black one, or a blue one or whatever, it would have just been sprayed that colour. If it looks like wood, they've probably put a veneer over, so at least what you're looking at is a natural piece of wood. But they are nevertheless just a piece of plywood, and they use the cheaper machine heads. I would say cheaper strings, but actually strings don't vary in price that much, so that's not really that important. But certainly that's where they start. When they start getting a little bit better and you start spending a little bit more money, you get a solid top. The top is, if you look at the guitar, the one that the piece of wood that would be facing you, if you looked at the front of a guitar, that has the sound hole in, has the big compact disc size hole, that would be what they call a solid top. So that would be a natural solid piece of spruce or possibly cedar. There are other woods, but spruce and cedar tend to be the most popular. When you spend more again, that's when you quite often see them advertised as all solid. So in other words, the top is a solid piece of spruce or cedar. The back and the sides would also be solid, and then you're getting into much more money because obviously you're sourcing natural pieces of wood from a tree, and there's no laminates, there's no spraying involved generally, so you will pay a bit more money for that privilege. The back and the sides generally, by the way, will be normally mahogany or rosewood. There are all kinds of other woods that are used, but traditionally those are the two most popular.
Okay, so and what is it about a hard wood that produces this better sound or causes the quality to be better? What is it about them?
There are lots of arguments about what's a better wood for making the guitar, and obviously there's also a lot of personal taste that comes into these things. Mm-hmm. Cedar, for instance, is a softer wood than spruce, and it marks more easily. You'll find a lot of people with cedar-top guitars, the tops get damaged more easily. It's a cosmetic thing, doesn't necessarily matter that much, but a softer wood would generally give a warmer tone, and a harder wood would give a brighter tone. But that's not necessarily the case. It also depends on the closeness and straightness of the grain. On a top, for instance, the quality of a good top is usually measured. It's not a guaranteed way of looking of judging a good guitar, but the finer and tighter and straighter the grain was always not something that was desired. And a luthier in a guitar factory might, oh, that's a nice piece of wood because it's got a nice, fine, straight grain. So there are other things that come into play as regardless of whether a wood is hard or soft. But, yeah, so a softer wood would give a warmer tone, a harder wood would give a brighter tone. But that's a generalisation because it doesn't always work out that way.
OK. Right, so we've talked a little bit about acoustic guitars, how they work. And so basically, when we have been making our little shoe boxes with the rubber bands mm-hmm. on in school, we're working on the same principle. It's the sound of the strings or the rubber bands yep. echoing in our little box.
Yeah, vibrating, and then you've got a box that the sound is moving around with inside that box and being effectively being amplified.
Super. Now, the electric guitars, obviously, you mentioned earlier on that these don't have any real kind of space to make the sound vibrate more. So what is it about an electric guitar? How is the sound transferred? Obviously, it comes out of an amplifier. What's the basic route it takes from your strings to the amplifier?
Well, most commonly, there's a magnetic pickup, which is the magnets are picking up the vibrations of a steel string. It generally won't work with a nylon string. With nylon string guitars, you'll get what they call a transducer, which you'll get in steel string acoustics as well, which picks up the vibrations in a different way. But a magnetic pickup is picking up the vibrations of a steel, generally a steel string, and then that sound is amplified through, obviously, a guitar cable to an amplifier. So a semi-acoustic electric guitar obviously has got a bit of a body to it, but as I said earlier, it's not there for the guitar to be played acoustically. That's not the idea. You can, and it will create a little bit more volume, but it's not what it's meant for. It's creating a different tone.
So with pickups, I read about or hear about musicians, guitarists changing their pickups, making a different, adding perhaps
A humbucker, for example, mm-hmm. is one name I've heard mm-hmm. mentioned. Is there a difference between the kind of pickups you can get and how are they different?
Yes, yes, there are. Again, as with the guitars, there are many, many different types of pickups. Initially, you would probably, with an electric guitar, you would split it into two categories. The humbucker that you've just mentioned and a single coil. The early electric guitars had a single coil pickup, so it is a single coil. It's a row of magnets with a single coil of wire wound around them many, many times. And that in itself is an art. And the problem with single coil pickups, and they are still very popular, the most famous electric guitar of all time, the Fender Stratocaster, has a single coil pickup traditionally. You can get them with humbuckers, and that is still the most popular electric guitar even now, even, you know, 50, 60 years later. And it has single coil pickups. They're a brighter, thinner sound than a humbucker, and they're noisy. They're not noisy from a live performance point of view. The noise was never generally considered to be a problem. It could become a problem in the studio and became more of a problem in studios later on, once you got towards the sort of late 60s, when people like Hendrix started deliberately cranking amplifiers up, overdriving them, turning them up, making them a lot louder. With that extra noise and that extra gain from the amplifier, any noise, any buzzing that the pickup was creating got amplified even more so. So it became a bit of a problem. It was common practice, and still probably is common practice, with a single coil guitar like a Stratocaster or a Telecaster to attach a piece of wire, believe it or not. It seems very Heath Robinson, but it actually works. Piece of wire attached to the bridge, maybe attached to the mixing desk in the studio to cancel out that earth hum. So what do we do about that? So the idea was that if you took two single coil pickups effectively and wired them together in a figure of eight, so you ended up with two pickups wired together, that it bucked the hum, hence the name humbucker, and it cancelled out that noise. I don't know if anybody really considered this when the first humbuckers were built, but as a consequence of wiring two single coil pickups together to make a humbucker, you increase the output and the volume, and you've got a thicker, louder sound from that pickup. So humbuckers became very popular in a lot of the more rock style guitars because the higher output of the pickup allowed you to drive an amplifier more easily. If you set an amplifier at a sort of halfway volume, for instance, plugged Stratocaster or Telecaster into it, you would get that thin, bright, great sound. Personally, still my favourite sound. So it's not a bad thing, it's not wrong, it's just different. If you then plugged in a Gibson Les Paul, another famous brand of guitar you may have heard of, which would traditionally have humbuckers, the volume you would get from the amplifier, just simply by swapping from one guitar to the other, would increase quite a bit. And generally speaking, because you're sending a hotter signal into the amplifier is much more likely to distort. So if you want a deliberately overdriven and distorted sound, a humbucker will do that more successfully. More recently, you started getting, I think it started in around the 80s, you started getting what they call a coil tap, which gave you the best of both worlds. So you could have a humbucker on a guitar, you would have a button or a switch which turned half of that humbucker off, so it became a single coil again. And you'll see quite a lot of guitars with a mixture of pickups, so humbuckers and single coils with or without coil taps, which gives you countless different tone settings. But that's it. There are, you could go on in greater length than that, but that, in essence, are the most popular pickups, and that's what they do, single coil and humbucker.
So, one guitar we haven't mentioned, we mentioned the semi-acoustic, mm-hmm. but there's another, which is the electro-acoustic.
Okay, yeah.
Which kind of sound receptor does that have?
Okay, that's a really common confused point between what's a semi-acoustic and what's an electro-acoustic. Semi-acoustic is effectively, nevertheless, an electric guitar. It's not designed to be anything other than an electric guitar. As I said earlier, it's got a sound hole, it's got a body with a cavity in it. And generally, most of them have what they call an F-hole. Instead of the big compact disc circular hole that you might be familiar with on an acoustic guitar, they would have two F-holes. because they look like letter Fs. And those are, as I say, they are not designed to be played as an acoustic guitar. They are just to give a different sound for an electric guitar. An electric acoustic is an acoustic guitar that is designed to be played purely acoustically. So you can quite happily sit in your living room and play it as an acoustic guitar and it will make a perfectly good and loud enough sound, or have a microphone placed in front of it in a studio to give an acoustic guitar sound. What do you do then if you are playing acoustic guitar? You want an acoustic guitar sound, but in a live performance situation. You could put a microphone in front, but a microphone in anything other than a very quiet PA system in a very sedate and intimate venue, maybe for jazz perhaps, might be fine. But as soon as you start putting a microphone in front of a guitar and then amplify it and turn the sound system up, there's a good likelihood you will get feedback. The other problem is that the guitarist is then rooted to the spot. You can't move, you don't move off axis at all, because otherwise the sound will change. So an acoustic guitar can have a pickup similar to an electric guitar, but they tend to be what they call transducers normally, and they work purely by vibration and sit under the bridge of the guitar. The strings put the pressure on that pickup, and that generates the sound. But it means that you can then plug that acoustic guitar into an amplifier and have the freedom of movement and, generally speaking, far less likelihood of it feeding back. Although they can still feed back, but it's just far less likely.
Yeah, case in point being I Feel Fine by the Beatles.
Yeah, well, that was an accident, as you know. I think it was John Lennon's J45 leaning up against an amplifier, I believe.
Something like that.
Yeah, and Paul McCartney said, oh, that's a great sound, can we use that? Well, they did.
Excellent. OK, final question then, Graham. We spoke earlier on about one of your favourite guitars being the Fender Stratocaster. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few brands which are very well known. Fender, obviously, mm-hmm. as you've spoken about, the Gibson, a Rickenbacker as well. I just wondered, with electric guitars of that kind being quite expensive, being towards the upper end of the market, let's say,
yeah,
is that because they are a better guitar? Are they built better? Are the pickups better? Or is there some kind of link to perhaps, let's say, Rickenbacker, for example? The Beatles are well known mm-hmm. for using a Rickenbacker, Paul Weller as well. Hank Marvin, Eric Clapton with a Stratocaster, very well known. And the Les Paul yep. rock bands, innumerable. Is this purely the case that it's something which is a famous name? Or is it to do with the quality and the way they're made at all?
But obviously you've got to think about that. Yes, you are paying for the name now. Without doubt, you could get a copy of a Fender Stratocaster, the chances are that would play and sound just as good as a real Fender for probably half the price. There was a famous situation in the early 1980s where a Japanese brand called Tokai bought out a copy and actually really worried Fender at the time because it was such a good copy. And it was a half, if not a third, of the price of the real thing. And people were comparing it. And now people consider that guitar a collector's item because they were very good. So you are paying for the name, but then at the same time, the name had to be achieved in the first place, OK? Obviously, there's a bit of a history there because the Fenders and the Gibsons and the Rickenbackers and the Gretsches were the first classic electric guitars, so maybe they didn't have so much competition to be able to achieve that famous name, but they achieved it nevertheless, and they were and still are very good guitars. Yes, you're paying a bit for the name, but... And I guess there was a little bit of a snobbery value for me because I still use Fenders, I've still got a Gibson, I still use Gretsches. And yes, I could probably have bought all those guitars for a lot less money if I'd gone for a copy. But, you know, to be fair, they are still good guitars. You've got that safety net of knowing that chances are if you bought a Fender, if you buy a Gibson, you buy a Gretsch, you buy a Rickenbacker, or an Ibanez, or there's some of the modern brands now, that you are getting a good guitar. You've got that seal of approval. But yes, you could buy a copy. The chances are will be pretty much as good for considerably less money.
OK, one sneaky last question.
Go on.
I know I said the last one was, we spoke about what made a good acoustic guitar, mm-hmm. the woods, the strings, etc. What is it that makes a good electric guitar?
Same thing, really. You've got the quality of the woods. Different woods, Fenders generally speaking, are ash and alder. Most of the Gibsons, the classic Les Pauls, are mahogany, but They are, I know, obviously different woods again are used, but they're the most popular. But the same things apply. The quality of the piece of wood that was used. You could pick two guitars off a peg, two identical looking Fender Telecasters that came off the same production line. One will sound a bit different, not necessarily better, but they will sound different because they're different pieces of wood. But as long as the people in the factory are choosing good pieces of wood, then you've got a good chance of a decent guitar. The quality of the pickups, obviously, there's a big thing about hand-wound pickups. Yeah, the amount of time spent winding a pickup can make a difference. The quality of the magnets. The quality of the machine heads is very important as well, because, you know, you don't want a guitar going out of tune all the time. So a good quality machine head, I should explain, machine head is the winding peg at the top of the guitar where the string goes around that tightens and loosens the string, so you can change the tuning. But they've got to be good quality. The gearing's got to be good, otherwise the guitar will be going out of tune all the time. And then the overall construction, the way the guitar is built, the quality of all the other parts, the bridge, all the other electrics, the tone pots, the volume pots, etc. If you're buying a good guitar, you are paying for better materials all round. It's not just the wood. But the principle is the same as an acoustic guitar. Put better quality woods, etc. in, you get a better guitar. But you could find a fantastic 50-year-old piece of ash and make a lovely guitar out of it. But if you don't build it properly, if you don't put the TLC into constructing it, you won't have a very good guitar. So it's not just the wood.
Thanks there to Graham Buxton. So while it is perhaps true that we are paying for a brand, there is a level of quality which is behind the names, which accounts at least partly towards the price.
Yeah, that's how it would appear. Although that's possibly the case in most industry, whether we're talking about tools or food or fashions, let's say. Mm-hmm. But there's another factor here as well. While I was talking to Graham, we also spoke about the different kinds of amplifiers which guitarists like to use to get a particular sound or volume. Older models, perhaps obviously, have a valve-based circuit which the users and fans say give a warmer sound in comparison to the more current transistor amps.
So valves, that's very old stuff. So what are the advantages to each type?
Well, there's a few. As you might expect, the valve amps tend to be heavier and are more fragile than the modern counterparts, and they tend to waste a lot of heat energy being given off from the valves. On the plus side, they tend to clip or flatten the extremes of sound waves to a much lesser extent, which means they provide a smoother, less distorted sound. In addition, valves are more easily replaced. They just pull out or push back in, but they're not perhaps as easily sourced. But there is a lot more to it.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Maybe there's plenty there for another show.
You're listening to The Science Show on Cambridge 105.